Kia ora, I'm Ryan Bridge, and welcome to episode 19 of Bridge Talks Business with Milford. Trump's tariffs are throwing markets around the world into a frenzy, up and down and all around, tariffs on, then tariffs off, this all in the space of 24 hours. We'll have more on that shortly. Our feature interview today is tech stocks and the Chinese AI disruptor DeepSeek. First, your top five business bits from the past 7 days. Coming in at number one, the US Federal Reserve left interest rates on hold as expected. They're likely to remain unchanged in the short term as they watch the trajectory of inflation and the labour market. Number two, earnings from US companies were solid, if unexciting. Large tech company profits still growing strongly, but at a reduced rate to a year ago. Number three, markets were buffeted by tariff announcements from the Trump administration late last week. Some represent the art of the deal, with some investors pumped about the prospect of tariffs. Once enacted, there is the potential for further volatility in markets. And number four, on the other hand, a strong US economy, solid earnings, and soaring expectations about the prospects for the US could continue to propel share markets to new highs. And number five, markets were roiled last week by the revelation that China had a strong AI solution in the form of DeepSeek, which ostensibly could deliver comparative performance to the United States solutions at a fraction of the cost. Technology stocks suffered large losses at the start of the week, but the markets staged an impressive recovery by week's end. It's time for our feature interview. Last week, you would have seen headlines about NVIDIA, that's the chip maker. Around $1 trillion was shaved off its value, this in the space of just a couple of days, all after the emergence of this relatively new and unheard of Chinese AI stock, a Chinese AI company called DeepSeek. So we're going to look into this a little bit further today, try and find out where they came from, what they're about, how legit this whole thing is, and what it means for the future of NVIDIA. Just a note that this segment is informational only and should not be considered financial advice. I'm joined by the senior analyst at Milford, Andrew Curtain. Andrew, g'day.
Hi, Ryan.
Thanks for being with me.
Not a problem at all.
So I woke up the other day, opened my phone, saw this story and was like, whoa, I didn't see this coming, did you?
Not in the way it came. You know, we're probably expected at some point there was going to be some developments which would cause a lot of volatility in the sector, but the news was, you know, quite sudden and the impact on stock prices like NVIDIA was quite severe.
Because tell us what the technology actually is. I mean, what are they doing so drastically differently than the AI makers, the ChatGPTs in the US? What have they managed to nail, at least on the face of it?
Yeah, and this is where it's interesting, right? They're not actually doing things that are very different to what the leading US-based AI firms such as OpenAI, which is the owner of ChatGPT, are doing. What they've done is they've just made some incremental improvements in quite a novel way, which is proving to be, or you know, claiming to, according to them, be more cost effective. And so, you know, if you look at what artificial intelligence is doing, it's using huge amounts of data sets and they're put into these models which they call large language models. So it's got billions and billions of data points of, you know, human interactions, conversations, research, information from the internet, the web. All of that's piled into this huge data set, and then they run algorithms and models across this data to basically try to imitate human level of intelligence or get as close to it and being able to interpret complex situations. And that could be things from sort of, you know, quite simple stuff about what happened in history or what is the information about this data set to complex mathematical problems or computer coding challenges.
Now, or if you write "why do farts smell" into Google, it's gonna perform a very complicated task and come back and give you an answer.
That's right, and then it may choose that it wants to answer that question or not choose to answer it, and models do have some layers in it like that. But yeah, so what's going on? You've sort of got this, you know, let's call it sort of a bit of an arms race where all these companies around the world are trying to sort of be take the next step forward in the more advanced model or the model that can give sort of better outputs and more accurate outputs. What this Chinese company DeepSeek have done is they've just sort of taken, you know, kind of the next step forward in a few model developments, and they've just come up with a relatively novel way to kind of take all this complex data segregated into smaller little packages, and therefore analyze those smaller, you know, let's say smaller data sets, and be able to come up with very good answers that are sort of about on par with the best other US-based models, but doing it at a slightly, well, you know, what they claim is a much, much cheaper cost. And so if it's a cheaper cost, it means it's more affordable, it means more companies can use it, and they pay less less to use that, you know, kind of the outputs they're getting. So, you know, why is that, why is the sort of AI market, let's say, sort of recoiling or sort of panicking about this? Well, it means that maybe we don't need to spend as much money to kind of do build these huge data sets. You know, yeah. NVIDIA is doing hundreds of billions of dollars of sales with a super high-powered computer chips, which is essentially, you know, call it the engine behind these large language models. Well, if we can do them for a lot cheaper, then do we need to spend all that money?
Right.
And that's why you had this really severe share price reaction.
And that's why you would see a company like NVIDIA, which is a chip maker, being quite badly affected, as opposed to an AI company, which presumably could adopt some of this technology that they're using and perform better in the future.
Yeah, actually both potentially, and that's right. It sort of depends exactly where in the AI kind of framework you sit. But, you know, if we look at NVIDIA, for example, they are, you know, without doubt the kind of AI poster child. It's because they develop the most sophisticated chips. They call them GPUs. And these, as I said, are sort of the engine to training large language models. You know, if you look at global sales at the moment, NVIDIA is doing, you know, around about $200 billion of annual sales. Most of this is going into training or processing these large language models. So, you know, the obvious then sort of step is, well, if we can do, you know, train a model for 10 times more efficiently, which is what DeepSeek is sort of saying, look, we can do this at sort of 10 to 20 times lower cost or you know, more efficient than the current US models at the moment. Well, then you might say, well, we need 10 times less NVIDIA chips.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of complexity of why that's not exactly true and why it probably won't hold true, but that is sort of the initial reaction that the market's trying to understand.
Right.
But you touched on sort of other AI companies. Now, you know, the obvious one that people talk about is ChatGPT. It's owned by a company called OpenAI. The founder is a CEO called Sam Altman. And so that's sort of been within the sort of the AI model part of the sector has been, you know, the poster child of that part. They're the ones that came up with the, you know, that original ChatGPT model about a year and a half, 2 years ago, which took the world by storm. Now, for them, this is quite negative because, you know, you've got this Chinese competitor who's got less resources, has built a clever way of processing models for you know, more efficient manner. Then all of a sudden you go, well, why should OpenAI be valued at, you know, what is reported to be around about a $300 billion valuation? You know, maybe they're not worth that much. Maybe they're only worth $100 billion. So if you're Sam Altman at OpenAI at the moment, you're probably scrambling a little bit to show that you're going to do a new model very quickly, which leapfrogs in front of DeepSeek.
Right, because otherwise it looks like any old Johnny-come-lately from China can usurp you.
That's right. And so that has been developing a little bit on that front because, well, DeepSeek came out and they said, look, we've developed this model for $6 million is what they're saying,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, US companies are doing it for hundreds of millions of dollars. There's a lot of information coming out that may not be exactly true.
And this is the thing, this is the interesting part about the fact that this particular company is based in China, right? You don't know in terms of the security of some of the information you put on there. It's not 100% guaranteed who or what agencies inside of China might have their hands on that or be able to look at that information. And also some of the answers that the responses that were being gleaned from searches on DeepSeek were probably stuff that you wouldn't find show up if you were doing a search on Google here or on ChatGPT in the United States, right? So there are, and that then opens the door to regulatory questions, mm-hmm. and you were seeing what happened with TikTok. So how does that, the potential for regulation, affect the value of both ChatGPT and something like DeepSeek?
Yeah, no, and this is a very fast-moving space at the moment. So if you look at it from, you know, regulatory side, we're kind of thinking, what is US trying to achieve here? Now, US, under both Biden and Trump, were very keen to make sure that the US is the leading company or leading country in the world in terms of developing artificial general intelligence. And they see, you know, AI as being potentially a benefit to them going forward relative to other countries around the world, but also as a threat. You know, if you look at what could be a big challenge to sort of global powerhouse over the next 10, 20, 50 years, it could be AI. And so US is very firmly focused on making sure they are the leader in global AI. So what they've already done, and this is going back over the last sort of year or two, is put restrictions on these super advanced chips, you know, a lot of them coming out of NVIDIA, and where they can be sold globally. And they've restricted China from getting access to the latest and most powerful computer chips. Now, what that does is it's supposed to handicap China from being able to develop as good a models as what's been developed in the US. Now, all of a sudden, China's gone and developed a model which is kind of as good as the US competitors with less access to the chips. And they're probably still getting some of the chips. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of them that, you know, there's stories of chips being sent over the Himalayas and into China. So I think they have been getting them through the black market, but they probably haven't got anywhere near as much as the US. So what is the US going to do now? Well, what we've seen in the last week or so, Trump has come out and he's, you know, basically reaffirming that he agrees with some of the restrictions that Biden put on in the last year or two. He's also removing red tape around the development of the US AI industry. Now, the red tape that I'm talking about was some restrictions that Biden put in, which was trying to do safe development of AI.
Guardrails.
Exactly. We've all seen the movie Terminator, where AI goes and takes over the world. So call it the sort of restrictions that are meant to sort of stop AI kind of doing things that we don't want it to do and making sure it's safe. Trump is basically saying, look, I'm going to remove those restrictions. You guys go and build, spend, do whatever you can and to ensure that US is going to be the leader in AI. And open, I think it's season. It's just going to get... I think Trump's going to sort of double down on all this, and he's going to probably actually do maybe tougher restrictions on China.
Yeah. Well, with Elon Musk at his side, I'm sure the sky's the limit when it comes to getting rid of regulations.
Yeah, and Elon loves AI as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Right? Hey, just to finish, what does all of this mean for our position, your position, when you're looking at what to invest in terms of tech stocks? Cautious right now? What does it mean?
Yeah, well, we've been sounding doom and gloom on this, but we've got to remember that this is actually a positive thing for economies, positive thing for most companies. So, you know, if we're talking about the cost of artificial intelligence being, you know, 10 times cheaper, that means we're going to be able to use it in our daily lives at a much cheaper cost. So, you know, let's look at a company, for example, like Facebook. Facebook is a big user of AI. They're both investing in it, but they're using it because they want AI to be accessible on your phone whenever you go on WhatsApp or Meta and be able to search AI. But there's a cost to running those queries. Every time you do a search, they have to process that through some advanced processes, and there's a cost to it. Well, if it's becoming more efficient, that means they can give us more tools, more products, more access to AI at a cheaper level. And this flows into almost every business in the world, right? If AI develops faster because it's more efficient, then companies can lower their cost. They can, you know, probably look at replacing more humans, which lowers costs, but it also makes the companies more efficient. So on a general perspective, it's probably a good thing if you look at kind of the economy as a whole. It's just some companies are a little bit more impacted, such as, say, NVIDIA or OpenAI. But, you know, from Milford, this sort of, you know, how we're looking at the AI space is it's very diversified. We invest across a lot of different companies that are impacted from AI, and that's from copper businesses, which, you know, produce a lot of copper that goes into data centers. We invest in the data center businesses themselves. We invest in the cloud companies, which are doing a lot of the processing capability around AI, such as Microsoft, Amazon, Oracle. And then we invest in sort of software companies, which we think are going to be early users of AI tools, such as Salesforce, ServiceNow, you know, and other businesses along that line. So we're very spread, and so we don't sort of see any we don't really want to concentrate risk into one stock, such as NVIDIA.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. That was Andrew Curtain, Senior Analyst at Milford, talking about DeepSeek and NVIDIA and what all these changes might mean for tech stocks going into the future. Don't forget you can like and subscribe this podcast, this vodcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to have you join and subscribe and comment in the comments section. Also, next week, we're going to be looking at Trump's tariffs with Mark Riggle. Mark is going to come in and give us a helicopter view of tariffs going on, tariffs going off. What does that mean for the stability of global markets? How on earth do you predict and work in an environment like that? Not just here in New Zealand, but in markets all around the world. We look forward to that chat next week.